It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Just a few hours from now, and already in Israel, the sound of the shofar blast will be heard in synagogues around the world as we officially enter on the Jewish calendar the year 5771, the biblical day of the sounding of the trumpet, sounding of the shofar blasts, and the Jewish New Year. We're going to talk about that today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, ask Dr. Brown, that's sdrbrown.org. And a specific question for you, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, Jewish or Gentile, do you personally observe the feasts and the holy days of the biblical calendar? Do you feel that it's important to do so? Do you feel that it's commanded to do so? Do you feel that it's going backwards into Jewish tradition or backwards into the law and out from grace to celebrate these things? Is it focusing on the shadow rather than the reality? We'll talk about all that. 866-34-TRUTH. The Bible doesn't say a tremendous amount about this day, except that it was the first day of the seventh month on the biblical calendar and began what is really the holiest period of time on the biblical calendar, because 10 days later, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, then 5 days after that, time of great celebration. So a time of repentance, introspection, mourning, followed by a time of great celebration, Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to talk about the spiritual significance of this, going back to Passover, the spiritual significance of the biblical calendar. But in Jewish tradition, there were different new years. There was a new year for the land, for tithes, for this and that. And over a period of time, the first day of the seventh month became recognized as the new year in Judaism. You say, oh, so Jews around the world, they're partying. No, no, no. If you're not a religious Jew at all, then it's just another day to you, or you mildly recognize, okay, this is a special time of the year. If you're just the slightest bit religious, then this is one of the times you go to the synagogue. The synagogue in which I was bar mitzvahed as a boy was small enough that maybe you could squeeze 200 people in there, maybe not even that many, maybe it was closer to 150. And there were some Sabbath services where my dad, Abe, would get a call in the morning, and they would tell him, we need you to get down here immediately, because they didn't have 10 men. And by Jewish law, you need to have at least 10 men to have what's called a minyan, a prayer group, so that you can pray together. And it's an official service. Yet on the High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, again, what we're about to celebrate just a few hours from now here in the States, because and you're just wondering, wait, that's, you're talking tonight? Yeah. Remember, the biblical order is evening, then morning. So the Jewish calendar always starts the night before and then the next day. Okay, so Sabbath starts on Friday night, sundown, and ends at Saturday night, sundown. So when the High Holy Days would come, the synagogue would be so packed they had to build an annex that seated, I don't know, 400, 500 you could get in there. I didn't pay that much attention to the numbers. I just know it was much bigger than the other place. Maybe it seated even more, and it would be packed. It would be similar to nominal Christians going to a church service, maybe Easter, Christmas, someone's communion, baptism, and that's about it. So just the slightest mildly religious, not totally secular Jew will be in a synagogue tonight and some of tomorrow, and will probably even fast at least part of the day on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, in 10 days. But more religious Jews, this is considered a time of deep repentance, deep soul searching. The next 10 days are what are called in Judaism Yamim Noraim, which means the days of awe. In fact, on the Line of Fire website, we have some excellent links for you, some books I would highly recommend. on Jewish tradition on this, Messianic Jewish approach to this. But Jewish tradition has really looked at this as a time of great awe, a time of great personal soul searching to determine whether or not you will be written in the book of life for the next year. In fact, the way that you write to one another at this time of the year is L'shana Tov or L'shana Tova, meaning for a good new year. It's not a time of partying. It's not a time of getting drunk or looking forward to some sports event tomorrow. The only thing you could say that traditional Judaism has in common with our Western New Year celebration, or really secular New Year celebrations worldwide, December 31st into January 1st, is that many people make resolutions and try to improve themselves. So obviously at this time of the year, it's a time where Jews are really looking at their own lives. I remember going into a traditional Jewish bookstore in Maryland, a few minutes from where I used to live, where I built up a large Jewish library during that time period. And leading up to this time, say a month before, you would see stacks of books on repentance, both in Hebrew and in English, and they would just sell off of the tables there. They'd have special tables where they'd just be piled up because traditional Jews are repenting, looking to their lives, looking for mercy. And here's the theory. If you're perfectly righteous, then you are already inscribed in the book. If you are not perfectly righteous, you're kind of in between, which is considered to be the vast majority of people, then your deeds are being weighed. Your deeds for the entire year are being weighed. In fact, the zodiac symbol for this month, which is Tishrei on the Jewish calendar, is scales. The concept being that this is the time when the world is weighed in the balance, and Jewish people in particular weighed in the balance. If someone is totally wicked, then they're already consigned to death. But the concept is that virtually everybody now, this is where the fate of the next year is going to be determined. This is where if you've done wrong, you can make amends, you can repent. This is where you can theoretically tip the scales in the right direction and plead for mercy. So the more full way that you address one another, L'shana Tova Tikatei V'Tichateim, that's in the singular, may you be written and inscribed, meaning in the book of life, for a good new year. Listen to what Moses Maimonides said, living in the 12th century, in his law code under laws of repentance. What does it mean when the ram's horn is sounded? What does it mean when the shofar blast is sounded? In fact, this is what is going to be sounded in synagogues. It's already going on, as I said, in countries that are ahead of us in time zones. But this is going to be in synagogues tomorrow through the entire day. Go ahead, Joey. According to Maimonides, what this means is this: wake up from your sleep, you sleepers. Arise from your slumber, you slumberers. Examine your deeds. Return to God. Remember your Creator. Those of you who forget the truth and the futilities of the times and spend all year in vanity and emptiness, look into your own soul. Improve your ways and your deeds. Let each of you abandon his evil ways and his immoral thoughts. And by the way, in Judaism, repentance is looked at as a mercy. In other words, it's undeserved because there should be a specific penalty for sin. And the Bible talks constantly about reaping what we sow. So repentance is looked at as a mercy. But repentance, aside from the command to make things right with people against whom you've sinned or people whom you've offended, along with that is the concept that you must actually show a change in your life. The way the Talmud basically puts it, the proof of repentance is, speaking from a male perspective, same woman, same place, same opportunity, two more times. You sinned the first time sexually. You were immoral. Now you have the same opportunity with the same woman, same setting, two more times, and you do not yield to it. That would be a proof of repentance. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to share some more Jewish tradition about this time of the year, but I first want to look at the messianic significance from Passover to the end of the biblical calendar. What does this have to do with Jesus? And then I want to ask you, do you personally observe these days? If so, why? If not, why not? We'll be back. May I wish you a happy and blessed Jewish New Year. It is the biblical sacred occasion commemorated with loud shofar blasts, according to Leviticus 23:24. And in the Jewish calendar, the year now 5,771. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. This is from at least an Old Testament perspective, certainly a traditional Jewish perspective. The holiest season of the year, the time of deepest repentance, soul-searching in the Jewish community, and a time that many believers, Christians, from all backgrounds, Jewish and Gentile alike, find to be very important. The question is, what do you think about believers today, maybe you think differently for Jew or Gentile, keeping these holy days, celebrating the feasts? Do you think that they are still filled with prophetic meaning? Do you think that that's going backwards under the law? Do you think that's a misconception to even talk about going under the law as if Jesus abolished the law? 866-34-TRUTH. As always, there is a lively discussion taking place on our Facebook page. By the way, the burning of the Quran question yesterday got a couple hundred pretty quick comments on our different Facebook pages. But if you're not weighing in and you want to or just want to read the other comments, make sure you sign up at our Ask Dr. Brown page, A-S-K-D-R Brown, and the discussion continues on the Line of Fire website. Here's what the Word says. Leviticus 23-25, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall be a solemn rest to you, a memorial proclaimed with the blast of horns, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of servile work. You shall bring an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then Numbers 29 reiterates that in greater depth, primarily by talking about the sacrifices that are to be offered on that day. First day of the seventh month, again, but in Jewish tradition, this becomes the new year. And then we read, for example, in Ezra 3 and Nehemiah 8 about these days, this time of the year being specially commemorated, the people of Israel gathering together, listening to the law being read. Here's some Jewish tradition. Blow the horn at the new moon, at the full moon for our feast day. Psalm 81, verse 4. Rabbi Phinehas and Rabbi Hilkiah said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, all the ministering angels assemble before the Holy One, blessed be He, and say, Master of the universe, when is the New Year's Day? And he says to them, is it me you are asking? Let us both of us ask the court below. Because of the verse, for it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. In other words, this is the time that the community of Israel has recognized as the new year. Let's put aside the question for a moment of Jewish tradition and the fact that Jews around the world recognize this as the new year. And let's think about the biblical significance of the calendar, okay? Passover, this is where it starts, okay? Nisan, it's roughly late March, April, normally on our calendars here. This was the beginning of the biblical calendar, Exodus chapter 12. What's the first event? Passover. What took place at Passover? Slaying of the lamb, the blood being applied to the doorposts. This is the original one. It's the children of Israel make their way out of Egypt. Okay, well known. What's the New Testament significance of that? Well, it points to the death of the Messiah as a sacrificial lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God That's what John the Immerser says when he sees Jesus, sees Yeshua in John chapter 1, verse 29. He dies at the time of the Passover. And Paul is quite explicit in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 saying that Christ, Messiah, is our Passover, meaning our Passover lamb. So without question, Passover points to the Messiah's death, right? There's going to be no question about that from a New Testament point of view. Then the next thing that happened immediately following that was first fruits. This was the Sabbath following the Passover, the day after the Sabbath following the Passover. So this would fall, according to most computations, then on a Sunday, if we're talking about the fixed Saturday Sabbath. And what does it tell us in 1 Corinthians 15? That Jesus has become what? The first fruits of the dead, the first one to rise from the dead. So Passover points to his death. First fruits points to his resurrection. What's the next thing on the calendar? Period of 50 days. What comes next? Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. According to Jewish tradition, and some would say that you could base this on the calendar of when Israel came out of Egypt, etc., this is when the law was given at Mount Sinai. This is when God spoke with fire from the mountain. Jewish tradition says it was spoken in different languages so everyone could hear at the same time. What happens at that very day at the temple? The Holy Spirit is poured out. Tongues of fire, foreign languages. Interestingly, as a result of the giving of the law in the book of Exodus, 3,000 die in rebellion and sin. As a result of the giving of the Spirit in the book of Acts, 3,000 are saved. Ah, fascinating. Now you have a gap. You have a gap of over 4 months, and then you get to the fall holidays. So this long interim gap, you get to the fall holy days. And what comes next? What we're about to enter into in just a few hours, what some call the Feast of Trumpets, the sacred commemoration with shofar blasts. What does the New Testament tell us this corresponds to? You say, well, how do we know? Because did it happen? Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 11. You can also look at Zechariah 9. The Messiah returning with the sound of the what? Trumpet? Shofar? This sacred season that we're about to enter into. Yes, every day is holy to the Lord. Yes, in the Spirit, every day is sacred. But in terms of setting specific days apart for specific functions, the sacred season corresponds to Messiah's return. Now there is more. I'm going to get into what's following the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles. But let's talk about significance for today. Let me grab one call before we have to take a break. Becky in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling today.
Hi, Mike. I used to sit under your teaching when I lived in D.C., and you would teach at a church in Maryland.
Oh, well, bless you. Thanks.
Yeah, and I do, because I do observe the feast, and all the more so after having been to Israel. The Bible says that these, you know, people will come from everywhere to observe the feast, and God instructs us to keep the feasts eternally. And this year I'm going to try to build a small booth in my backyard, because I was so inspired after I went to Israel and saw that they do literally build small booths.
And yeah, in fact, I'm going to talk about the significance of the booths on the other side of the break, but just in 15 seconds, so doing this, does it add to your faith in Jesus or distract from your faith in Jesus?
It adds, because it brings it to a clarity and a focus, and a time of repentance is important to me.
Got it.
You know, the thought of dwelling with God, and, you know, it just underscores and highlights the importance of my faith.
All right. Hey, Becky, thank you so much. All right. Some would say, no, we're going backwards. Others would say, absolutely, what Becky said is true. So we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Thanks so much for joining us today, Michael Brown. Glad to be with you on a an auspicious time on the biblical and Jewish calendar as we are about to enter in U.S. time, we're about to enter into what is the traditional Jewish New Year and the biblical day of the sounding of the ram's horn. So we're talking about the prophetic significance of this, giving you some traditional Jewish background, and talking about how this relates to you today as a believer. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, if you want more info on this, I encourage you to go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire for today, and I put up three books, three specific links, one of them mine, but two others that we're not selling these, we're just referring these as good resources. A famous Jewish writer, S.Y. Agnon, labored for many years to produce a book called The Days of Awe, A Treasury of Jewish Wisdom for Reflection, Repentance, and Renewal on the High Holy Days. It'll really take you into the traditional Jewish world. So I highly recommend that book. And then a book by dear friends of mine, Mitch and Zahava Glazer, on the Fall Feast of Israel, as to how you as a believer can incorporate these into your lifestyle. And then my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus, that has a whole quarter of the book, maybe more, that answers your questions about Christians and the law today and Jewish believers and the law today and the feasts and holy days. So those resources are all there at the Line of Fire website. Okay, if you missed the last segment, I explained how Passover points to Messiah's death on the cross, first fruits, talking about the biblical calendar, first fruits relates to Messiah's resurrection, Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, points to the outpouring of the Spirit. And then we have this gap of 4+ months, and we enter into the holy days, which in the biblical calendar, on the 7th month, beginning with sounding of the trumpet blast, which is a wake-up call. And then there's 10 days until Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. In the Bible, you'll often see 10 as a number of testing, trial. So this is a time when Jewish people are especially repenting, searching their lives, asking God for mercy and forgiveness leading up to the Day of Atonement. So even non-religious Jews get more religious at this time of the year. And the religious Jews get even more religious. It's a very sacred time. It is a great time to pray for Israel. It is a great time to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 2 something in the morning last night, I sent a New Year's greeting to my dear friend and debating partner, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, called America's most famous rabbi. Man, I've debated all over America and even some foreign countries, and truly a dear friend. And he sent me a note back. It's free, so we're late night people, wishing me New Year's greetings. And of course, we had to both state how we oppose our efforts on these particular issues, one of those efforts. But Shmuley and I will be debating, God willing, October 16th, Saturday night in the Charlotte area. So everyone, anywhere around, a few hours away, come, bring a Jewish friend. It should be an awesome, eye-opening night. But this is a great time to be praying for Jewish people. When we get to Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, I believe that that is speaking prophetically of the national cleansing of Israel. If you look in Zechariah 12, you'll find the end of the chapter, the Messiah's return and national mourning, beginning in Zechariah 12:10, national mourning among the Jewish people, the recognition of who Yeshua really is. And then that leads to 13:1, cleansing for the nation, Day of Atonement. And then Zechariah 14, what comes next? Sukkot, tabernacles, speaking of the harvest of the nations. And what does it say in Zechariah 14? The survivors of the nations that attacked Jerusalem will come up to the city to do what? Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Question is, how do we relate to that today? What is the purpose of these holy days in terms of us as believers today? Let me go to the calls, and I'm going to read some of the comments on our Facebook page. Terry in Selma, thanks for calling.
Yes, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, brother. My question is, when is it exactly do you sound a trumpet? Is it today, tonight that we do it, or is that a certain time of the day, or what? I'm not Jewish, but I've got a shofar that I'm borrowing from my pastor. And I would like to, and what you're talking about, you know, I like to sound the trumpet, you know, because it's such a blessing to me just to do it, you know.
Well, hey, I'm blessed that you're blessed to do it. And obviously, because you're just doing it as unto the Lord, as opposed to trying to keep the details of Jewish tradition, you can kind of sound it freely. But if there are 100 blasts that are sounded over the course of the services. But what I'd encourage you to do is tonight, once it's sunset, once the sun is down, sound the shofar as often as you want, and then tomorrow up until sunset as often as you want. And somewhere around the world, you'll be joining the shofar blast of other Jews.
That's such a blessing. I started doing this for a church, and I'm the only shofar blower that I have right now. I was kind of hoping somebody else might join me, but that's okay. But it's just such a blessing because Jesus did that. I mean, the very one that created all these things actually did it too. And I just, you know, it's just such a blessing to honor him. And thank you for taking my call, brother.
All right. God bless, Terry. And, you know, I'm not surprised that they're not a long line of shofar blowers in Selma, Alabama, ready to sound the shofar. But, Terry, man, you are absolutely free to do it in the Lord. And I've been in many a Christian service, having nothing to do with Jewish holidays and having nothing to do with being Jewish, but simply believing that there's something of that wake-up call to the shofar when the shofar blast was sounded and people shouted to God. Boy, it rocked the place. Let me read some comments about to keep or not to keep. Here is a question. I posted on Facebook. Again, just join us there at Ask Dr. Brown, AskDR Brown. Tonight begins the Jewish New Year. In Scripture, a sacred occasion commemorated with loud shofar blast. You personally celebrate the biblical Jewish holy days. If so, why? If not, why not? Vicki Lynn said yes, because the Lord intricately designed them for his purposes to acknowledge his faithfulness and to show us Yeshua as Mashiach. We, our family, celebrate the biblical appointed days and the fulfillment of Yeshua. He embodies the Moedim, the sacred days. Beverly said, I do try and recognize the days. However, with so much being tradition and such, I'm not sure what the correct and biblical way is of doing things. In other words, most of the details on to how to celebrate these days come from later Jewish tradition. If someone's trying to be biblical, where do they go? What do they do? Greg said, I have to admit, as a Gentile Christian, I get a little nervous watching other Gentile Christians who begin to act like they are Jews by birth. Greg, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but concerned. I agree. I spent years getting free from religion. The last thing I want to do is put myself under a new yoke of religion. Henry agrees with that. Bonnie says, my question is it better to celebrate the biblical days we find in Scripture ordained by God or the pagan days Christians celebrate, obviously meaning the Easter celebration the way it's done or Christmas celebration? What did the early church do? Why are we so far removed from our heritage? One church, one body, Jew, Gentile. Not we do our thing and they do their thing. I think it would be better to do whatever Yeshua, Jesus, did, which would have been Jewish lifestyle. All right. A lot of different perspectives. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, yeah. Before the show's over, I will weigh in with my own views. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire as we enter the Jewish New Year. We enter the day of the sounding of the shofar blast in Jewish tradition. Again, according to Moses Maimonides, this is what this time of year signifies. Wake up from your sleep, you sleepers. This is from a great rabbinic leader 800 years ago. Arise from your slumber, you slumberers. Examine your deeds. Return to God. Remember your Creator. Those of you who forget the truth and the futilities of the times and spend all year in vanity and emptiness, look into your soul. Improve your ways and your deeds. Let each of you abandon his evil ways and his immoral thoughts. A time of great repentance in the Jewish community, especially the traditional Jewish community, a time where I always pray specially that God would deepen his conviction on my Jewish friends, family, colleagues, associates, Jews around the world, that he would deepen the sense of conviction of sin, make us aware of his holiness and our sin, deepen our awareness of our need for forgiveness, deepen our awareness that our best efforts are still missing something, and open Jewish eyes to the truth of Jesus, the Messiah, and his shed blood being what we so desperately need. The question we've been asking and come to in terms of my own views in a moment, what's the significance of the biblical calendar for believers today? Let me grab a couple more calls. First, Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey, Debbie.
All the Jewish holidays, I believe, is just a pattern of, equality of Jesus. But my question is, the Jewish people right now are going through the fasting and asking God to forgive of their sins. And my question is, will God forgive them of their sin, seeing that they're not in Christ?
No, unless there is acceptance of God's mercy through Jesus,
right.
Jewish people, like anyone else, are lost, which, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I have one chapter called So Near and Yet So Far,
right?
Where I talk about religious Jews being so close, so near. I dialogue with some on a regular basis, and they're God-fearing, sincere people.
Yeah.
And yet their eyes are still blinded to God's truth and Messiah. Now, here's the deal. It's not a matter of they didn't say the magic formula, Debbie. It's it's not a matter of, we didn't teach them the sinner's prayer, and because they didn't say these words, they're lost. It's a matter of recognition that something is missing.
Right.
And that blood sacrifices, Messiah's death, everything was pointing in the same direction. So we've really got to earnestly pray. Now here's the other deal. It's possible that a Jewish person only understands some of the message. Maybe they've never really heard the gospel. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're responding to the light they have, and God can use that to draw them to Jesus. But if his atoning sacrifice is rejected, all their praying, repenting, crying out points them in the right direction, but doesn't get them to the destination.
I know. I kind of feel bad for them in a way, because they're doing everything right, but they're not getting it. But oh well. And I just have a comment about the pastor in Florida. I actually back him up.
Okay. Well, hey, Debbie, tell you what, get on the Line of Fire website and weigh in with your comments, all right?
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to talk to you, just no time today, but by all means, weigh in with your thoughts, okay?
Sure, I will.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Look, I'm glad Debbie feels bad. Listen, Paul said that he had continual grief and pain. Romans 9, because of his Jewish people. He says in Romans 10, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So the bulk of the people being religiously inclined, from his perspective here, the bulk of them having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, that's heartbreaking. As a Jew, that the Jewish Messiah comes and his own people miss him, reject him, that is heartbreaking. Jesus wept over the destruction that was coming to Jerusalem. The prophets wept over their own people. And I say that if we are just glib, well, Jews don't believe in Jesus, they go to hell. No. We do not have God's heart. But let me take this further. The Jewish people, because of praying to the God of Israel, because of reading the Hebrew Scriptures, because of praying for the coming of a Messiah, are closer than any other people on the earth. So near and yet so far. Yet there are many other religious people in the world. There are religious Muslims and religious peoples of other faiths who are earnestly seeking to please God or the God that they relate to or understand, and are desperately looking for forgiveness and mercy and not finding it. That should break our hearts too. We should be burdened. Thank God for the forgiveness we have. Thank God for the mercy we have. Thank God for the outpouring of God's love and kindness that saved us, most of us, when God was not in our thoughts at all. In fact, some of us rebelling and fighting against him. Thank God for that mercy. Rejoice in it. At the same time, be burdened for those especially who are seeking earnestly and yet have not yet found. Pray with them that they will find the God and the forgiveness they so desperately seek. All right, we come back. I'm going to lay out my views about to keep or not to keep the feast. We've been talking about the holy days of the biblical calendar, the feasts, holy days of Israel, and Jewish tradition. If you missed any of the broadcast, there's a lot of information that I think is relevant and important. So make sure you go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. We've got some other resources that will be helpful to you. And, of course, you can always subscribe by podcast to the broadcast. This way you don't miss a minute. You don't miss even a second. Okay. To keep or not to keep the biblical calendar. First, I differ with some of my Messianic Jewish friends in saying that it is required of us as Jewish believers to keep these things. That's a whole other discussion, but I differ with some of my fine Messianic Jewish friends, teachers, leaders, theologians on this. The best evidence we have, looking at the New Testament, looking at the book of Acts, is that Paul lived a Jewish lifestyle, that for his witness to the Gentile community, he was willing to put aside certain traditions that would stand in the way, but that his lifestyle, according to the book of Acts, he continued to live Jewishly. No reason why he wouldn't have. Jesus said he didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill, right? So why would it dawn on him to not keep Jewish law, biblical law? Or think of it like this. If you were raised in a Christian home and had good moral upbringing and then came to know Jesus as a teenager, why would you throw out the good moral upbringing? Now you can just build on it in a life-giving way. But I don't believe there is a New Testament command for all Jewish believers to observe the biblical calendar. However, that being said, I believe to the extent it's on our heart to do and life-giving to do, we ought to, speaking first to Jewish believers, because it does connect us with our people and the life cycle of our people, and there still is prophetic significance to the biblical calendar. And it's a great time to be praying with and for our people, and also to continue to pass on a Jewish heritage. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you're saved circumcised, don't become uncircumcised. So if you're saved Jewish and these things are part of your life, then don't cast them off. But to be perfectly honest, at times in my life, they've had more significance than others. And it is not something in our household that we did regularly as part of our lives. I sought the Lord earnestly about it and continue to, but it's not something in any way I could say is mandatory. However, I find it to be fruitful, excellent to the extent it's on the heart of a Jewish believer. Great. What about the church as a whole? I believe the church as a whole can show solidarity with Israel. I believe the church as a whole should recognize the importance of the biblical calendar. After all, this is in the Bible, as opposed to, say, Thanksgiving or July 4th, or even the celebration of Easter or Christmas. These things are in the Bible, and therefore it's a great time for the church to be praying for Israel. It's a great time for the church to be looking forward to God's restoration of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it's a great time to demonstrate to the Jewish community that faith in Jesus goes hand in hand with solidarity with Israel and with the fulfillment of biblical promises and prophecies. Do I believe we can say it's mandatory for all believers? Absolutely, absolutely not. Based to me on many clear New Testament principles, which we'll get into when we do some debates on the show about believers in the law today. Do I believe it's mandatory for all Jewish believers? No, but I believe it's an excellent thing in lifestyle and to be highly recommended to the extent that it is life-giving and Jesus, Yeshua, centered. Once we get under a yoke of bondage to anyone or anything that has not come out of our relationship with God and through His Word, we can get confused. To the extent the Lord lays these things on our hearts through His Word by His Spirit, wonderful. But one last word, don't judge those who observe. Don't judge those who don't observe. Work it out in your own life and pray blessing on all, regardless of position, that Jesus, Yeshua, would be glorified. And pray, join me in praying for a wake-up call to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Back with you tomorrow.